Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life Podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. This is certain to be a very healing experience for you. This conscious conversation that I have with my guest as we discuss grief and the afterlife, we really talk about many different angles of grief and truly to have that relationship continue. So I'm very proud and just deeply humbled as well to bring to you this episode. And before we head into it, I just wanted to say thank you so much for being here. Thank you for coming to a place where you can explore yourself, your own spirit. That's so important. And it's so important for us all. So thank you for that, and invite you to, if you haven't yet, it would really, really help me if you would leave a review for this podcast. If you are driving your car, when you stop your car, you can just pull over and scroll down in the app where you get your podcast, and you'll see a way to leave stars. If you want to leave a few words, that would be so incredibly helpful for me. That's how the podcasts actually are able to kind of get their foothold so that other people can find them, because the algorithm will make it a little more available to it. It would like reveal it to others more. So just my invitation, and thank you so much for being here. That also obviously helps. Share it with someone else if you feel like they would be edified by the conversations that we're having here. And I actually want to just take a moment to give a little shout out and some love to a couple of people who recently did give a review to the podcast. One is from TNT Spirit Works, who, by the way, is Teresa Shantz, who was on my podcast and I was on hers. So I also recommend, she is the podcast host of Enthusiastically Spiritual. And Teresa, or TNT Spirit Works, says, "Dynamic soul on a mission. I love, love, love Trisha and her podcast. The inspiration that flows from her and the love of helping others connect to their beloved pets and others who have passed on is much needed in today's world. I would highly recommend this podcast to everyone in a physical body who is having otherworldly experiences and wants to find out what it's all about. Thank you, Trisha, for shining your light so bright." Ooh, I got chills for that, because I always say thank you for shining your light on our beautiful world. Thank you. So once again, that's Enthusiastically Spiritual with Teresa Shantz. And then there is another one from The Fish Sticks, and it says, "Engaging," as the title says, "I tuned in for Damien Eccles' interview about his upcoming retreat and enjoyed the whole show. Thanks. I'll add this to my rotation of podcasts." Wonderful. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. That is that. I love having Damien on. He's been on 3 times now. So yeah, just such a gift. So, and what a great segue, I think, because of how Teresa shared having an otherworldly experience. Because my guest, Liz Peterson, really does help us with these otherworldly experiences. Liz Peterson, intuitive energy healer, author, and psychic. Liz is an advanced intuitive energy healer, Reiki master, spiritual coach, podcaster, and the author of Mom Died Last Night, My Shared Death Experience, a memoir of death, grief, and afterlife communication. Throughout her life, Liz has been a dedicated student of healing and metaphysical topics, driven by a deep desire to understand and harness the power of energy. Drawing upon her natural-born abilities and her personal journey of healing, transformation, and empowerment, she brings a unique perspective to everything she does. It is her mission to use these gifts to serve others and support them in their paths of growth and self-discovery. So Liz has a podcast called Raise the Vibe with Liz. We also have her book and her website and everything you can find in the show notes. And I want to invite you to stay on after the conversation, which is so beautiful and so healing, because I'm going to offer just a little bit of support about some of the topics we talked about. I'm going to teach just a little bit on one little concept, and I'm also going to offer you a free gift that I think you will really find helpful. And by the way, if you if it's one of your first times or if you haven't been here in a while, you might notice that we're taking comments from the audience because I now offer my podcast, the interview portion or kind of the main teaching portion, if I'm doing it solo, live on, it's on YouTube mainly, but you know, you can also find it multi-streamed on Facebook and X, which is AKA formerly known as Twitter. And so you can join us live. If you make sure that you join my mailing list, that's the best way to get the notifications. Of course, if you also subscribe to my YouTube channel and you've hit that little bell for notifications, you'll get notified for when those are coming up. You can join us live and join in the conversation. You'll hear the beautiful comments and shares that people offer during our conversation. And it's really just so beautiful to hold space together. So you can find my YouTube channel link in the show notes. You can find that way to subscribe to my mailing list also in the show notes. And but we are doing it right now at this time at 11 a.m. Pacific on Thursdays. I might add more times. And, you know, every now and again, there might be an extra one. I actually have someone coming on next month as I record this who lives in Australia. So we're going to do it at a different time so we can, you know, because they're in the future, like 16, 17 hours. So we have to figure out a way to come together. So that's what's going on in this, in addition to the incredible support and love that comes through the conversation that I have with Liz Peterson. So enjoy the conversation and I will chat with you on the other side. I'm now ready to welcome on my guest. I'm so excited to talk to Liz Peterson. She is an intuitive energy healer and she has a podcast called Raise the Vibe with Liz. She is also, as I welcome her on here, hi Liz, a psychic and an author. So welcome to the show.
Hi, Tricia. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm so excited to get into everything that you do. You have a beautiful practice, and I want to hear all about it. I want to hear about your book. And we picked kind of a topic today to talk about grief and the afterlife. So as we head into that, can you get us into the beautiful work or the journey, how you got here, either your journey or the work that you're doing, wherever you want to start?
Wow, the journey of my work, I think, really started when I was a child. You know, born that sensitive child, my gifts were open. I did go through a time where I did close that down out of fear. So I did step back and then step back into it in my late teens, early 20s, you know, taking polarity therapy, a course shamanism, then found my 4-year program where I learned Barbara Brennan's work. Became a Reiki master, did childhood wounding, a shadow work. I was gifted to have an instructor that was also a psychotherapist. So we got her work as well. And we were always circling up and sharing and going through our own inner processes while learning the work. So it really was an experience to learn who I was as an individual, what my gifts were, and honing them during that process of opening to them.
Wow, that's wonderful. And I love that you actually had a psychotherapist who was helping you because, you know, we've got that grounded empirical perspective as well. And if you can find a therapist who can support or honor your spiritual gifts, that's fantastic. And by the way, sometimes psychotherapists are not trained to understand that or welcome it in. How was your therapist, like a transpersonal therapist or existential?
Yeah, she had a spiritual awakening herself post a divorce. Yeah, and that led her to Barbara Brennan's work where she fully opened her gifts and learned to accept them for herself and within herself. And then she gifted that to us, that it That's is wonderful. Okay, that we do have these gifts, that we're all born with these gifts, and that we can learn how we work individually and then use that in our lives or in our practices.
And, you know, this is another repetitive thing that has been coming up the last like couple of weeks is that many of us, or maybe most or all of us, actually do withhold the opening, that kind of psychic or more transcendent opening, until we are more mature. And I actually learned recently, because I just graduated with my mind body psychology degree. You know who Carl Jung is, C.G. Jung, Swiss, you know, psychologist, one of the fathers of, or pioneers, I prefer to say, of our modern psychoanalytic, you know, psychology. And Carl Jung was himself very spiritual. He actually, even though it's not necessarily detectable, he used astrology and tarot as a basis for a lot of his psychoanalytic theories, and his mother was psychic. And his advice is that we don't really get too transcendent, if you will, until we're, his advice was like 40. And the reason is, if also you look at, you can look at the chakra system, or you can look at Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We have to build the personal self and be grounded in that before we can transcend it. And so I think we are born with all these gifts, but this world kind of causes us. That's the problem. It's the world. It's not us. If we were living in a perfect world, we could keep our gifts online all the way through, and we would still build the personal self, and then we could get more transcendent maybe a little later. So it's really interesting. And was that the same for your therapist? Was she a little older when that occurred?
She was a little older. She was in her late 40s, 50s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love how you pointed that out, because it's true. It is these initiations that we go through in life that kind of bring us to working on that shadow self and working on our wounds and discovering who we are, and then opening more fully, gaining that confidence to step into our gifts. I like how you pointed that out. That
was and it's stepping into the gifts. Now, this isn't to say you can't be a spiritual or use spiritual, kind of therapies or guidance while you are still in that younger stage of life, but to be able to be really, to go beyond it. And I would even say, like, if a person's more in that personal development stage, then maybe psychedelic medicine or, plant medicine, it could be a little tricky, because we need to anchor in this life, which is the whole purpose that the soul, the soul came here for this purpose, right?
It did. We each have our own journey and our own purpose. And some of us start off really young and some of us start off later in life. I feel like we made plans before we incarnated, and it's just how our plans line up in the world where we begin. I'm noticing also, though, a trend towards younger people opening up a little bit more these days than I saw, when I was younger. When I was younger, there were only a couple of us who were, in our 20s, early 30s, but now I'm seeing them going to workshops and holding classes myself, and there's a lot of younger people. So I think they're being able to learn from our experiences, because everything is really on hand right now with social media and being online with everything right now, that they're getting the information. My 16-year-old is having discussions with his friends and with me that I would have never had when I was 16 years old. They're just exposed to so much more. They're able to open up, I think, a little bit sooner. Plus, a lot of children are being born open, with these gifts functioning, and to parents who are in a space where they have worked on themselves and they have these gifts and they're open, and they encourage them instead of saying it was just a dream or that's just your imagination or something like that. So we're more encouraging our kids, I think, these days than we're encouraged in the past also.
And you can ground your kids in it as well. So, because the parents aren't afraid of it, or have at the very minimum not afraid of it, they can help that balance. So it is definitely possible for spiritual and personal development to coincide. And I've, of course, again, it's not like I was done at 40. I'm all set personally. It's just this, again, these thresholds that we cross. And that, as you said, you mentioned, we have a purpose. So how have you been helping people with grief? And, expand on this topic that we've picked about grief in the afterlife and in your work and your experience, if you would.
My experience when my mother passed away last year in February really opened up my life to grief and what that experience was. I'm going to say she gifted me the ability to look throughout my life and see all of the stages and all of the places that I've experienced grief that I didn't have the tools to work on or really embrace those moments and really process through those moments. I was thinking about that this morning, that, even though I have worked through my grief with my mom, and this book has really helped me, the writing has helped me, discussing it has helped me, working with my clients around grief has helped me to work on my grief, it's also opened up that portal to my past, where I can see where I still need to work on some areas where that grief isn't healed. So it's that opening up to my own personal process and my own experience, then that opened the door to having this avenue for my clients that were now coming to me in resonance with what I had experienced, and being able to work on their grief and going back in time to all of those places where they didn't realize that they were holding grief from their past and carrying it forward and not realizing what was going on within them at the time, you know, that they're struggling, they don't know what's going on. Then when we dive a little deeper, it opens up to all of those places in life where they hadn't recognized that it was grief and that we do need to work on this grief and process it. And I think that's another thing that's opening up right now. We're being gifted, you know, post, you know, what happened from 2020 on, you know, with everybody's struggle and adversity around everything that was going on, it has opened up, hey, you know, there's this other awareness around loss that's coming forward now. And there's more discussions about it now as well. And I think as I opened up to it, I magnetized people to myself that also had that experience as well.
How do you help people with these, you know, specifically what is your work like, working one-on-one, working groups? What is your process?
I do both. I do one-on-one. I do group work. I'm getting ready to segue from doing group work around my psychic circle class and other workshops that I teach that you can find on Raise the Vibe with Liz into more group work around grief. I do work individually, one-on-one. I do sessions, personal coaching sessions. I call them intuitive coaching sessions. And you can find those online as well, where we just sit down and we unwrap, you know, what was, you know, the cause of the grief, getting in touch with where is the grief in your body? Where are you still holding on to that? Where are those little tendrils that are still holding on that aren't allowing you to move forward in your life and really thrive after your experience?
Loss is so devastating. And when we have a loss, we feel like we've lost ourselves. And yet somehow it can be one of the most beautiful, bittersweet, but beautiful gifts as well. And just when you have people who come to you in that depth of grief, does helping them with understanding maybe the eternal perspective, the afterlife, being able to be in touch with how their relationship is continuing, how does that help? If you want to expand on that. I know I just said a lot of things, but you know.
Sure. Yeah. I think bringing that in, that component, if they're open to it, that life does continue after death, that we do have that ability to still have communication with our loved ones on the other side, that does help. It does ease grief. It does bring meaning to the loss. It helps us feel like we're still connected, because when we lose someone that we loved, especially our parents, you know, a spouse or something like that, our heart is broken. We no longer have that person in our life in that physical way. And we really long to have that in our lives. I remember my mom saying that one of the things she missed the most was not being able to call her mother. And that was one of the things I missed the most. But knowing as a psychic, as a medium, as a healer, that she is still with me and she does still give me signs. And I can, even when I'm not feeling her around, ask, you know, hey, are you still with me? Give me a sign that you're still here. Or I just talk to her. Instead of picking up the phone, I have that conversation with her. And I do invite my clients, if that's something that they desire, that they can step into that too and have that connection with their loved one on the other side that maybe they didn't realize they had, or they're getting little glimpses through little signs, you know, butterflies and dragonflies and feathers that it exists, but helping them to go a little bit further, kind of find peace within themselves, get quiet, listen, and then ask, you know, ask for a sign.
And we will be right back. Hello, Charmed Life listener, it's Trisha, and I am making a special invitation for you to Sacred Sphere. This is a bi-monthly communal learning, practice, and resonance space. It is your community for intuition, manifestation, and spiritual development. It's happening twice per month, and there are special benefits if you subscribe so that you can go to every one of these or see the replays. It is a place for your deep, immersive healing and your powerful manifestation practice to unfold in your life. I'm so excited about this. The vision for this is large and wonderful. We're going to be changing our own lives, and I believe we're going to be changing the world. So check it out. The link is in the description. We can't wait to work with you, to see you, to love you there. And now back to the show. And, you know your mother so well that as you tap into your heart and have that conversation, it's like, I mean, you know what she would say, or you have a sense of it. And that's real though. That is really her occupying that space and communicating with you. Even if a person doesn't know or think that they are a medium, your heart knows the love that the two of you created and knows how to animate it in your life still. Do you agree? And in addition to, because sometimes people are like, I'm not seeing any signs. And sometimes it's like, well, if we're looking too much out there, the gift is that we're being asked to go into our heart to find them, right?
We are. And I really loved what you said at the beginning of the show around going into your heart and leading from that space, because it is through our heart that we have those connections. We're in so much grief because our heart is feeling the loss, because we're feeling the amount of love that we felt for this person. And that love just doesn't go away. And those memories of our loved ones continue in our heart. So really, like you were saying, Tricia, in the beginning, like, stepping into our hearts and allowing ourselves to just feel like, this is how much I allowed myself to love in this lifetime. And following that love to the memories. And I can remember too, when my older sister and I were going through the house and we could hear our mother in our mind as we're going through the house, you know, and my sister turns to me, she says, it's like, I can hear mom. And it's like, yeah, she's right here with us. You know, she's speaking to us as we're, you know, going through our process and going through her home and organizing everything. She's very much still with us and present.
You said how much I allowed myself to love in this life. That's a big highlight. So beautiful. I love that. I want to say hi to some of the people here. We have Christy. She says, that is what I'm dealing with, grief. I felt it in my lungs. Oh, Apache tear helps. Oh, thank you. Yes, we breathe it with you, Christy, with you in this grief at this time. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Your vulnerability is healing to us all. Amy says, I have been blessed to have found a therapist that supports my spiritual gifting. Oh, I love that. Hi, Amy. I know Amy really well. That's wonderful. What a valuable experience. And then Champagne says, please speak on it when we lose a loved one by them being murdered, how to deal with the grief. With that grief wisely. Would you like to speak on that, Liz? And I'm so sorry, sure. Champagne, if this has happened for you.
Champagne, yes, I'm really sorry too that you've had that experience. That is really hard because we feel like it's out of our control. And anything that's out of our control, we just have a really hard time reconciling with. It's the why, right? And our minds want to attach to meaning and reason. And it's so hard when someone is taken so quickly. And I'm so sorry that you experienced a loss in this way. I have no words.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. And just be gentle with yourself. Have compassion with yourself. Know that your loved one is still with you. Know that you can sit with them and hold on to your heart and close your eyes and commune with them. And, you know, I'm feeling, you know, peace on the other side, yeah. You know, after that experience for them.
And I feel like it's so complex in a situation like that, because we need to heal from a violent act. This is something that it's a real effect. There are people who experience complex post-traumatic stress disorder if something happened to their loved one and they didn't actually literally witness it. And this is something that for frontline law enforcement have to work through too, because they witness it after the fact or sometimes during the fact. But when it is our loved one, and if they have a violent act occur to them, it's this other layer that is making the grief an even more, you know, again, nuanced and profound process. But I think that's a piece that has to be sorted on, healed as well. How does the heart function in that regard, Liz? If you can, you know, feel into that, or let us know if you've had that experience where we have grief, but then we have this huge other piece as well.
Yeah, thank you for speaking to that, Tricia, because it's true, there is that complex grief, and it is that grief that comes multi-layered, where it's not just that moment in time where we know our loved one is going to pass away and we have that pre-grieving process. It's that sometimes that immediate, you know, death that happens, then we're like, we have the layer, I didn't expect it. In tragedy, we're holding on to the devastation that comes from knowing that our loved one experienced what they experienced. And that place in our mind where our imagination starts to run, and we have to actually pull that back and not allow ourselves to go down that road of imagination, but to remember to just kind of hold our heart to the ground down in the situation and know that we're dealing with more than one level of experience, that it is complex, as you were saying, and that we do need to unwrap that a little bit more and to kind of separate, like give ourselves permission to grieve while we're also holding on to our anger or whatever emotion might be present after, you know, what someone experienced, like champagne, after someone has been murdered. There's also the holding of that too. So it's stepping into being able to hold everything at once.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the grieving process, being able to hold that life moves on past a person's death, that we have to experience work and loved ones and taking care of children and home and everything else, that there's joy that also comes. So holding that like place, like I can have grief and have joy. You know, someone in champagne situation can have anger and have sadness and can have, you know, the regular joys that come along with life. It is complex. It's stepping into that space, that initiation of being able to hold all aspects of life, like you were saying in the beginning of the show, that big picture thinking, and walk ourselves through it. It's extra self-care. It's taking time for ourselves. It's journaling. It's getting into nature. It's listening to our inclinations of what our soul desires, whether we want that cup of tea or just want to check out with a book for a little while or take a hot bath or, you know, just that extra nurturing that we need to bring to our soul when it is complex like that.
Yeah. And having someone like a coach or a healer to hold some of that for you, it makes it, it really does. That's a self-love and just a powerful way that you could service yourself. So, you know, Liz can help with that, yeah. I think. Yeah.
One of the things I brought to one of my clients was, you know, she was holding the anger and holding grief around loss. And I walked her through anger release exercises.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it goes from, you know, the why, you know, why does this happen? And, you know, maybe banging a pillow or throwing a temper tantrum or screaming or, you know, hand screaming where we're screaming in, you know, into our hands. And, you know, and then under that anger is that deep sadness and grief that comes up, and then just allowing ourselves to just like open our hearts and our souls and just letting that emotion pour out of ourselves. It's cathartic. It's really cleansing. I've done it myself after my mom passed away, you know, just stepping into that place where, and I talk about that in my book, where I was able to release the anger and move into that deep sadness underneath.
And the sadness, sometimes we're really afraid to let something like the sadness emerge or for us to submerge into it because we're afraid we'll get lost in it. And actually, I just heard this. Oh, my gosh. I just heard this in the class. And one of the therapists who teaches the program that I was in said that her client was afraid she would get lost in that sadness or in her grief. And so the therapist said, go ahead, get lost, and I'll hold you here. I will find you. And oh, it was so beautiful, this scene that we got to live. In fact, when that sadness or whatever it is, it is getting better as you are letting it process. It is remembering that it is a process. And there's a distinction between processing and indulging. But if something like this has occurred to you, then processing is what's going to be top of your psyche's list of what to do. So I don't think you really need to worry about it being an indulgent process. But yes, if you have a guide or a healer who can hold space for you, and be an anchor for you to come through the other side of it, is so powerful, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. I know I reached out to my mentors when I was going through my grieving process mm-hmm. and reached for books and other tools in my toolkit to help process myself through my grief. And it is giving yourself permission. I very much gave myself permission. I give my clients permission to be in the grief, to be able to give themselves space, because society isn't set up to give permission to the grieving process. You know, we can go up to someone and have a conversation, and you'll notice the topic is quickly shifted. Mm-hmm. You know, so we need those spaces in society, that time for us to grieve. There are cultures that are actually set up for grieving processes. Mm-hmm. There are times in some cultures where they'll take a week or a month just to grieve for themselves, for their communities, for the planet, for a day, a week, or a month. And a lot of our cultures, especially here in the West, we have let go of that. You know, it's get over it, go back to work.
And we will be right back. Easy Intuition and Meditation, your 30-day roadmap for an empowered life guided from within. It is live now. Only $98. This course is delivered as daily meditations, lessons, and prompts over the course of 30 days, and you have a whole year to access. Now, the intention here is to help you to gain that sovereignty in your consciousness, to be deeply in-tuned and attuned to your intuition, and to have that show up in your life. So if you have been feeling bewildered or lost or uninspired, the sense of needing to be on your life's mission, well, it all comes down to you and you. And meditation is the portal for this. If you have struggled in the past to have a meditation practice that is self-healing and inspiring, or if you are just ready to upgrade and rekindle a deep romance with the universe through your meditation practice, well, this is designed for that. And if you would like to get in touch with your intuition so it can direct your life, whether for the first time or one of the first times or for the 100th time, again, this is for you. This is extremely high value and very affordable, $98. You have access to the first lesson now, and you will get all of the lessons and meditations in a 30-day cycle. If you check out, if you want to go and check out the information page, you have a sample of the lessons, you have a sample of the meditation, so you can really get the idea of this. We have high quality produced meditations, easy to digest education that is attuning and meditative in and of themselves. Lessons on divination, lessons on human design, prompts for journaling, self-inquiry, and divination under this container of spirit. So check it out. I can't wait to see you there. Empowered Empath. This is a program designed for the sensitive soul, for the person with that empathic nature. And by the way, that is a healing ability. However, this is a healing ability that you can't turn off. You cannot turn off your empathic nature, because it's more than just a psychic or healing ability. It is also how you are designed. So the Empowered Empath is a powerful program that is also gentle, consists of 4 modules with 8 life-altering lessons, 4 aura tuning meditations, and we have bonus group healing and coaching sessions that are coming up really soon. You definitely want to check the show notes so you can see when those are coming up. You have access to it for a whole year. You'll be able to continue to water the garden of your empathic nature. You'll learn how to feel centered and peaceful as a sensitive person, how to use your gifts as a superpower that they are meant to be, and you'll be receiving attunement and healing and new life strategies to live in the power and purpose of your sensitive nature. It's especially tailored for those who want to turn their empathic and sensory overwhelm into intuitive strength. It is immersive yet very gentle program, and it's suitable for all levels of development. And I especially recommend it for those whose human design body graph reveals that they have an undefined emotional solar plexus. So if you are just ready to turn that sensitive sponging into the thing that we really need right now, we need your sensitive genius shining on this planet to be in the high frequency, high functioning of your sensitive superpower. So join Empowered Empath. You have access to the lessons starting right away. Oh, by the way, it's very affordable and even comes with payment plans. Only $177 for all of this content, and you can make a payment plan of 3 months or 6 months. I made it extremely affordable and accessible because I know what it's like to need the help. So if it's your first time of really healing your empathic nature, or you need to do it another time, this is the program for you. I can't wait to see you there. And now back to the show. We're so, I don't know if it's because we're young, but I mean, I don't know, we're talking about in the States, but Western culture is also like Europe. It is younger than a lot of the other ones, but we have issues. I got to say, we got some issues with being able to, you know, like you said, have a grieving as a part of life and to create space for it. In addition to that, just simply spiritual experiences. They call it a monophasic, meaning we only accept one phase, and the phase is either awake or asleep. That's pretty rare. Western is one of the only cultures that accepts only waking or asleep. Every other culture accepts a polyphasic, meaning there are different states of being, of consciousness. And it's kind of strange if you really look at it. And I think even though we are immersed in Western culture, that we can see that other cultures accept some form of the afterlife, and people who are shaman or maybe, you know, have specialties in being able to be guides in those areas. And it's really strange, but we have to, maybe this is part of what the younger generation are helping us to do by being awake to that, helping to mature our society back into a space to even just having, in Judaism, they sit Shiva. That's 7 days. It's dedicated, you know, something that you do. It's an honorable thing that you do, but it gives the healing space for everyone. So thank you for bringing that up, that we're just not set up for it. We have to create it for ourselves.
And sometimes it's our experiences too that take it to us.
Yes.
Or take it to it. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Sometimes people don't even think about the afterlife or don't even want to think about death because that's not in our culture until death arises in our life. Mm-hmm. Then it opens it up to, oh, is there an afterlife? Does my energy continue on? I think that death is an initiation to opening up more spiritually, to connecting to the other side, to realizing there's more to this existence than just our physical reality. And that can be a gateway for a lot of people into spirituality, into recognizing spirit, and into, you know, getting curious about, okay, will my energy go on?
Yeah. That's so common. People having spiritual awakenings in tandem with a loss. And that actually was mine. It was my cat. And so when he passed, that triggered my spiritual awakening. Literally, as he was dying, the last stages of his life, one of the things, it's the first thing that I opened up in my psychic, you know, awareness was animal communication. And I kept asking the vets, you know, how am I supposed to know that it's time to assist him? And the doctors were saying, he'll let you know. Which was infuriating to me because that's not scientific and that's your job. You know what I mean? Like, he'll let you know is philosophical or spiritual or, you know, what do you mean he'll let me know? And he was toward the end and he wasn't drinking water, which is, you know, one of the last signs. And so I picked him up in his little frail body and I went to syringe some water into his mouth. And he shook his head really, really hard and he was almost completely blind, but he looked me in the eye and I felt him say into my body, no more. It's time. And that after he passed, that was really my awakening. And it all just started unfolding from that. And then when my father passed, and we were like, he wasn't really in my life, but he's still my relative, my very close relative. And I had a, what do they call it? A spontaneous, it's an SDE. It's like, I can't remember what the S stands for, death experience, where someone that you love dies, but you have some kind of experience of their, it's like having a near death experience, but I can't remember I'll write it in the show notes when I remember. You know,
shared
what it is?
Experience.
Shared, yes. Thank
shared
you.
Death experience. It's a participation in someone else's death process.
Thank you for that. So it's like near death, but it's shared death. And so I was already a medium at that time, so I didn't even know about that. But I experienced with my father his passing, even though I was in another state. And for a few days, I was like super out of it, like really ungrounded, really astral. And it was hard for me to ground. And I asked spirit, like, why? And they said, because a part of you is on the other side. And you're adjusting to that because we are a part of one another. And again, I didn't have a close loving, I mean, I did when I was a kid, but so this, it just made so much sense to me why loss opens us up spiritually, because a part of us moves to the other side and we're anchored there. And we have to figure out how to ground here as well, but forever a part of us will be on the other side now.
That's beautiful, Tricia. Thank you for sharing that heartfelt story and your connection, how you opened up and was able, you know, to connect through that experience. That's really beautiful. And it is sometimes those experiences that do open us up. That is awakening. It's opening our third eye. It's opening our crown chakra to the spirit realm and really feeling that connection to spirit, or feeling that connection to source, yeah, to the divine, that we are all one, you know, the planet, spirit, us working together, that all is one connection of, yes, openness and awakening. That's beautiful.
Thank you for helping me with that S and shared death experience. You all check it out. And I wanted to see, oh, we have Brandy who says hello, that she's seeing us live. Thank you for joining us. Victoria, I blocked a lot of my grief by jumping right into helping my family with our loss. I also felt like I didn't need to grieve because I could talk to them via my gifts. That's beautiful, Victoria. And sometimes people do that. They set their grief aside. That tends to happen in family dynamics. One person sets their grief aside to help everyone else. But yes, I know Victoria, and she is a medium and she's a very powerful healer. So that's beautiful. Thank you for doing that and for sharing it with us. And then Brandy says, my older brother passed away in early June of this year. We're so sorry. So sorry.
So sorry, Brandy, for your loss.
We miss him dearly and still are trying to come to terms with, he's not here with us, but I feel him with me from time to time. Yeah. Yeah. Your love goes on, and the love can't stop, right?
No, the love does not end. It continues on. And we do have waves. Yeah, our relationship just changes. It shifts into that spiritual relationship instead of being that physical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Victoria says, I didn't realize SDE was a thing. It's what happened during your dad's passing. Yeah, me too. During my dad's passing, I didn't know until recently. Oh, okay. I just thought I was being a medium, but it was really significant, like an NDE. Yeah. And then, yes, Brandy, you're so welcome. And so they're not here physically. Sorry I interrupted. But the relationship is just going on. But it's like we're adjusting to that because the relationship started physically with the physical component. And that's the thing we're sorting out.
So true. Yeah. We're sorting out, you know, not having that physical presence in our life anymore. And then how does that shift? And then we realize, oh, we're energetic beings. You know, yes, I had this physical relationship in this reality, this earthly existence. But now it shifts over to the spirit realm where we are connected through spirit energy. And that does, it can continue on. And then we realize within ourselves, you know, a reassessment of our life, and that we're not just this physical reality, that we are spirit, that we are soul, and that our energy will go on after we die and commune with our loved ones on the other side, that they'll be waiting for us. I remember, you know, in the hospital room, my grandmother and my great grandmother were there, and they said, we got her. Mm. And, you know, they were there to help walk her over to the other side. She was at peace.
Yeah. That's something that people often ask after, you know, they ask psychics, ask mediums, are they okay? And is that something you get asked a lot too? Are they okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Just on Tuesday, I had someone come in for a reading, and that was their main question. Like, are they okay? Yeah. Yes. On the other side, they're okay. And I also want to say, if there were disagreements, you know, in this lifetime, as they transition, they see differently. Mm-hmm. They don't have the attachments, that those emotional attachments that we have here in this physical plane. And all of that is released. And there's a wider viewpoint of the experience, that it was learning and sharing and loving. So all of that is released, and they're very much like holding a space of love for us on the other side. Mm-hmm. And they're forgiven. Okay.
They've forgiven us. They've forgiven themselves. It's just really, and then that's a wisdom they can bring as we continue to have our relationship with them, you know, and it's so beautiful. I want to hear about your book. Can you tell us about your book? And of course, we have that in the show notes, how you can get Liz's book.
Yes, thank you for asking. It's called Mom Died Last Night, My Shared Death Experience. It's a memoir of death, grief, and afterlife communication. And it goes through my mother's death process, my grieving process, and our afterlife communication. And that can be found on Amazon and on my website, raisethevibewithliz.com.
Oh, that sounds amazing and so healing. And I remember I watched Marley and Me, the movie Marley and Me, which is... Right. Yeah. And I've recommended it to some people who've had loss of animals or dogs and they're like, I can't. I'm like, no, I promise. It's very healing to walk through that journey with someone else. Really.
It is really healing. And that's one of the things I recommend. That's one of the things I did. If I was in a place where, oh, I felt like I needed to grieve and I just couldn't get it out, I needed to cry, I would put on a sad movie and just cry. Yeah. You know, that's available to us. And that's one of the reasons why I published my book, to let people know they're not alone, to let them know that through my experience, you know, maybe that would help them through their experience as well. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much for writing that book. And oh, Tracy has a comment. Tracy says, my sister-in-law passed away 4 years ago today. Wow. This is always a tough day in the Hamilton household. Perfect timing. Wow. Thank you, Tracy, for sharing, and blessings to your family and your sweet sister-in-law. She is holding space for the family on the other side. Loving you all still. Well, Liz, this has been just beautiful. I would love to have you on again. I feel like we have so many areas we could go into, and I love the work that you're doing. It's such a gift to us all. So you guys, Liz, with her book, Mom Died Last Night. Is that the name of it?
Yes, yeah, good. That's correct.
Okay, I want to make sure I say it. And as an intuitive coach and the group and individual work that she's doing, check her out. The all of her links are in the show notes. And so thank you, Liz. Is there anything else you would like to share as we conclude our conversation today?
I would just like to say thank you, Tricia, for having me on. It's been a beautiful conversation, and I would love to come back and talk about more things. I really feel like, you know, we have a sisterhood with the work that we do, and thank you for your time. Thanks for having me on, and thank you everyone who's watching now and will watch in the future.
What beautiful work that Liz is doing. I connected with her so deeply. We talked after the show as well. So I just want to say, if you're working through grief, if it's current, I shouldn't say current, if it's recent, or if it's from years ago that you may have experienced a loss, it's still current. That's why I was saying the word current. It's still here. And I feel like Liz is a great support in that. So check out her work. Sounds like she's doing many different dynamic ways of helping people, groups and individual work. So just want to give that love and light to that space, if that will be something that you could utilize. And I wanted to talk about anger and peace. Liz mentioned how sometimes anger is a big part of our grieving process, maybe especially if it's complex, but it's just one of the stages. And by the way, stages is not exactly it's kind of a misnomer to say stages of grief, as if they go in some kind of succession or as if they're completed so cleanly. It's just not, it's really aspects, the aspects of grief. And anger is something I think we can be sometimes conditioned to think that it's just not good. It's not something that we should be ashamed of it, or we need to repress it, because anger is not appropriate. Maybe we have the message or the conditioning that it's not appropriate in any circumstance. And maybe we don't, but it's also, it's a volatile, it's a big energy, it's a big emotion to experience. And so sometimes we just don't want to feel it, even if we know that it's appropriate to feel anger from time to time. And Liz mentioned peace. and how that is something that we can find as we're moving through our grieving. And perhaps we'll, you know, again, it's not stages as much as it is aspects. We'll move in and out of those different aspects that we experience in response to loss. Well, it's really interesting because if you have been listening, or if you have gotten into the human design model, started that experiment, there's one energy type, one aura type, the manifestor, whose signature is peace, and their not self theme is anger. And it's like these two kind of work on a polarity together. And by the way, just because that's the manifestor's signature and their not self theme, their main not self theme, doesn't mean that obviously we experience peace, those of us who are not manifestors. It's something that is a part of everyone's experience. But I think that the manifestor theme is, and not self theme, is really holds a lot of wisdom for us to look at it. That perhaps it is that processing anger is how we can find peace. And there was a person who was on my podcast, Tressa Rivera, who is a manifestor. And she was sharing on the podcast about how when she feels anger, you know, when she feels it, that she does need to express it or allow it to be processed. And I remember her saying that, you know, she has young children, and that she will tell her young children, I just need a moment. Mommy's angry. It has nothing to do with you. I'll be right back. And she'll go into the, I'm paraphrasing, maybe she didn't say it exactly that way, by the way, but she said, you know, she'll go into her bedroom and she'll like maybe scream into a pillow or do some kind of big body movement to help her body to process the anger. And, you know, those are moments that Tressa was sharing that are smaller ones, you know, just ones that come out in a regular pace of a day. And of course, what we were talking about in this conversation, what Liz was referring to, is are the really existential moments of anger, existential anger, definitely, absolutely the right label for it. Because if we're talking about grieving the loss of a loved one, then yes, it is existential. It is about the ceasing on one level, the physical level, of their existence, and also reorienting to the truth of their existence. If this is helpful to you at the time. And of course, this is a spiritual metaphysical podcast. The afterlife, that is how their existence is still and is continuing. And the existence of your relationship with them is in the eternal space, in the afterlife space. And so existential anger does need to be processed, expressed. And this is perhaps something that needs to occur so that the peace can be more easily or readily or often, whatever that might feel like is necessary or helpful for you. And so anger is something that is human and can be valuable. And moving through that anger so that peace can be noticed that it is there. Because peace is still with you. Peace is in your heart. The love of the relationship you have with your past loved one is a peaceful space inside your heart. But if there is anger that is currently loud, then I just want to invite you to allow that to be processed. Perhaps it's with working with Liz. Perhaps it's with some other way you can journal about it. Liz mentioned journaling. This is like a self-therapy. It's a therapeutic process. And let yourself really and truly let it flow out of you, because it does need to move. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, encourage you in that if that's something you're experiencing. And even if it's not a loss, you know, this year we had a bunch of planets that were in retrograde all at once, and they were all like, it was in the fall of 2023, late summer, fall. And it was last year, I believe, in 2022, toward the beginning of the year, and there were a lot of planets in retrograde. And I'm not a very good astrologer at all. That's not a profession, a professional title of mine. But I do remember that, well, I was actually in a place where I was in my Chiron return. And so I was processing a lot of things, and Saturn was in retrograde. And Saturn in retrograde was helping me to process some anger that was sort of an existential anger, not in the sense of having lost loved ones, as it was loss of other things from my childhood, loss of innocence, and just my disappointment with the things of this life that haven't gone right. And I'm going to say it that way, right, haven't gone right, haven't gone correctly, because right or correct, and I'm thinking, you know, in alignment with love. Of course, we're always going back, we're always on the path back to love. And I remember there was just this period, and maybe it was only a week, and I was so angry. And there was, I was like driving to my favorite trail to hike, and I was parked out, you know, there weren't really people around. It was at the end of this space where you park for this trail. And I just screamed and screamed and screamed because I just felt so angry. And then I looked, and there was someone who could hear me because I screamed loud enough, and they're like, hello. And I was like, that's okay, that's fine. And I did feel better afterward. So to help you with, if you're in any place of grief, or if you're in any place of needing to express anger, I have a free offering for you. I have a meditation that is a peace meditation. And if you're in the process of grief, or if you're in the process, if you're processing anger, maybe you need a break from anger. It's not totally processed yet, but you want a little time, a little space of time to feel where peace is existing in you. Well, maybe this meditation will help you. And so what you want to do is click through the link that is in the description in the show notes here, and it will take you to the place to be able to listen. And you should be able to access it over and over and over again. It'll be hosted for you anytime you want to go back to that link. Bookmark it. You'll be able to use this meditation to take you to a place of peace. And this is my loving offer to you in gratitude for walking on your path of light. And, you know, hopefully it's a support in anything that you are. Even if you're not in anger or grief at this time, peace is always something that can support us, support our life force, support our nervous system, support our emotion, our emotional, mental, and physical bodies, our nervous system, as I said. So that's what I have for you. And just an invitation to continue to stay connected with this podcast, invitation to any of the communities, whether it's the Empath Program, whether it's the Modern Mystic Life community, where we have also all kinds of esoteric workshops. I'm actually in this series of channeling archangels for those who show up, the attendees of the live sessions, and it's really amazing. So find the links for that, and just keep seeking your inner being, and keep seeking the light that is here guiding you and has brought you onto this path, because we really, really do need you. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.